Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello there. I hope everyone is doing well this fine day. I hope everyone is safe with their families and everyone is doing extremely, extremely well in their well-being. Thank you guys for tuning in to Locker Talk on the Bassin News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. And you guys can always reach out to me at any one of my social handles, on Twitter at Locker_, on Facebook, LockReport.com, and Locker Talk Podcast, on Instagram, LockReport100, all small caps, and you also can reach me directly via email at BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com. Right now, I hope everyone, like I said, hope everyone is safe with their families, everyone is safe where they are, knowing that the country is starting to turn a corner with the COVID-19 pandemic, as many of the states are starting to open back up. So it's really good as a slow process. And to those out there under the sound of my voice, if you have suffered a tragic loss due to this unseen enemy, it's definitely our prayers definitely go out to you and your families and hope that, all will be okay during this rough time for many of you guys that have unfortunately suffered a loss. For those who have recovered and those who were able to maintain, just continue to do what you're doing so that this situation can pass and allow this, allow our country, especially the medical brilliance that we do have, will find a way to help not only have a cure, but to at least be able to fight against it, as everything cannot be find a remedy for, but however, to be able to get back to our daily lives, to be able to sustain and to be able to counter act and combat any illnesses out there, like for the tons of illnesses that we all face for generations, that this will become one of those situations that we can be able to handle as we strive to be able to find a resolve to be able to get back to normalcy and to be able to handle the situations that may that are occurring and may occur down the road. But with that being said, knowing that everything was put on pause, the country's starting to open back up, and now we're starting to see a light down the tunnel for sports. It was never no thought that sports would not return. We knew that it was, and the question was when. And now you had the NBA starting to open up their facilities for players to practice, Major League Baseball looking to hit the field soon. Everything that falls in all sports is starting to come back around. But the one that I'm more dear to my heart is the NFL with football. And as we know that the schedule was released on Thursday night, the league is moving forward. As nothing has happened, they're not going to change. They're going to press forward and be responsible to be ready, so that when the medical staffs and the right clearances that we are able to get throughout this country, that as the months progress and if things looking to come about with some normalcy, at least the league will be in place knowing what they have to do in order to keep the season from running and then adjust accordingly to whatever mandates that is laid out for this country. That if the mandates laid out for the lead to play, and they have to actually go along with what is set in stone, that the league can be able to adjust, morphing themselves to make sure they bring a good product on the field and to our viewing pleasures. Now, with that being said, we know that the draft has passed. It was a very successful draft, actually the most watched NFL draft since its 100 years being in existence, 101 years being in existence. Now, a lot has had to do with the coronavirus pandemic. However, the viewership was still going to be large anyway. But to know that everyone was in their homes or place of safety, knowing that it was some kind of normalcy as far as in dealing with sports, that definitely helped out a whole lot. And during that whole situation with the draft, knowing that everything that I do through Lock Report for NFL football operations, the workouts with the regional combine and this year's HBCU combine, this first workout for the HBCU, we know by now that it was canceled. And there were no workouts this year. However, the part that was really interesting was to see how the players, primarily that were coming through the NFL regional combine invitational, how strong this class have been and how teams took account of some of the players that were invited. And this year was the highest number of players that would have ventured through the platform, as 9 players were drafted. Last week I went through the names of those players, and that was history making in itself, knowing that players can come through the regional combine, just getting their name added to the invitation carries a lot of weight. And because there were no workouts, no one was able to really see what they can really do. And it also translated over into the undrafted free agency pool, where that was almost a record, not completely a record, far as with players that were signed as undrafted free agent, but they definitely was a strong number. Now, prior to this year entering in, the regional combine best year for us drafted players happened in 2016, when there were 5 players that came through those workouts that were drafted. And all 5 of those players, Trevor Davis, Mike Thomas, Jonathan Williams, Jo'Tavious Brown, who else was came into that draft? I mean, I should know that by hand. Kumar Gunther Hill. Those guys are still currently in the NFL. When you look at Trevor Davis, who was drafted by the Green Bay Packers, he is now with the Miami Dolphins. Jo'Tavious Brown, who was originally drafted by the then San Diego Chargers, is now with the Philadelphia Eagles. Gunther Crusher Hill was drafted by the Patriots, wound up getting released, signed with the Philadelphia Eagles. Was a part of the Super Bowl winning team for Super Bowl 52 when the Eagles had beat the New England Patriots. He is now currently with the Miami Dolphins right now. So he's another player that went on the road. Mike Thomas, who originally was drafted by the Los Angeles Rams, is now a Cincinnati Bengal. And Jonathan Woodgate, who was drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars, is now a member of the Tennessee Titans. So these guys are still able to collect paychecks in the NFL, which is a tremendous thing. Now it's all about what the other 9 players are going to do that got drafted as well. Now, knowing that their skill sets are really good, I mean really high, and the best part with the 9 players that were drafted, their skill set and talent levels actually helped fit the teams that were really needed to have improved on their positioning for this year's draft. And pretty much one of the biggest ones that was high that really needed a running back was the Detroit Lions, and they drafted Jason Huntley, who came from New Mexico State. This young man is fantastic. I think they addressed their need in the 5th round by drafting him as one of their running backs. Kansas City Chiefs always looking for depth on their defensive front, so they drafted Mike Dana from out of Michigan. He's a solid pickup from those guys. Picked him in the 5th round. The Carolina Panthers always want to make sure that front line is always tight, always ready to roll, and they drafted Brevion Roy from out of from Baylor. He went in the 6th round. Minnesota Vikings need offensive lineman help just to bring depth inside there. And so from Oregon State, that's when they had drafted Blake Brandell, who was 6'7", 305 pounds. They drafted him in the 6th round. The Indianapolis Colts, I think the Indianapolis Colts really, really got a steal out of linebacker Jordan Glasgow from out of Michigan, 6'1", 226 pounds. I really, really like this kid. I really believe that he's going to make their 53-man roster on that squad. He is solid, and he's really, really good on special teams. I think he's definitely going to have a place there. The Chicago Bears wanted to make sure they solidify that offensive line a little better, although they're still trying to find out who's going to be their quarterback. But bringing in O-line help always helps. So they drafted Arlington Hambright from out of Colorado. So that was a good, solid pickup. He's a fiery leader, 6'5", 300 pounds, very mobile, very athletic. They drafted him in the seventh round. The New York Giants can always use good defensive players on the linebackers. They're one of the ones that got another steal from out of South Carolina, which did very well in this draft, by the way. The Giants drafted T.J. Brunson, linebacker, 6'1", 230 pounds, a complete leader, drafted him in the seventh round. Minnesota Vikings went back to the offensive line, drafted Kyle Hinton from out of Washburn, 6'2", 295-pound lineman. Seems as though that Gary Kubiak is really trying to reinvent that offensive line that was constructed with the Denver Broncos in the late 90s, where they had a solid offensive line that helped lead the way for the Broncos and John Elway and Terrell Davis, both Hall of Famers, to be able to get their Super Bowl rings. They drafted Hilton in the seventh round. And then Mr. Irrelevant, who I really believe is going to make himself very relevant for the years to come in the NFL, with Trey Crowder from Georgia, linebacker, 6'3", 235 pounds. They were the players that came from, that was invited through the NFL Regional Combine Invitational, and they were the men that had their names called out and selected in the draft. But right after the draft, here comes the other group of players from the Regional Combine platform. And like I said, unlike the draft, where the 2020 class had made history for its draftees, the undrafted talents that were signed, they just fell short by three players to create history on that front, as 36 players from the NFL Regional Combine Invitational that would have attended got their phone call right after the draft. And we're going to go through all those players, where they landed, you know, how they can help. Some of those guys I pretty much have written down as going to make this team, that I think these guys are really, really going to have a really good shot in making the NFL. And also bring in a little bit of history context, considering what this country is facing with the pandemic and how it relates to one particular season in the NFL. Now, we'll get to that. But when it comes down to undrafted talents, now, 56% of the NFL is made up of undrafted players. So you have more players that's being successful in the NFL that did not get a chance to have their name called or walk across that stage to shake Roger Goodell's hand. You know, so majority of the players that actually matters in the NFL, that actually is producing in the NFL, were undrafted. And in terms of the NFL Regional Combine platform, the majority of those players were undrafted, and several of those guys made it big in the NFL. You know, we all famously know with Adam Thielen, wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, you know, how he was able to sign a big contract coming through that platform. One of the highest paid wide receivers in the league. Kenny Moore, the second, Division II talent, signed with the Indianapolis Colts. Never looked back. He signed a lucrative deal last year. Actually, is the highest paid nickel corner in the NFL, so that was really huge from that platform. Out of window, Winningraver, left tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He signed his big deal several years ago, so it was $24 million. And then you had Johnny Hecker, the punter for the Los Angeles Rams. He pretty much was a five-time All-Pro punter in the NFL. And he also made the All-Decade team for the NFL, spanning from 2010 to 2020. So that's history in the making right there for us coming through the NFL Regional Combine platform. And so there were some of the guys. So there were some of the guys, pretty much the highest paid guys so far, that came through the NFL Regional Combine process, worked their way up, especially going through special teams, going through their growing pains, so to speak, and we're able to sustain a great career, but most importantly, sustain a substantial bank account where all these players that normally come through the platform, looking up from off of one knee, looking up, hoping to dream to get into the NFL. And we're going to take a quick pause, and when we come back, we're going to dive into this year's signees, where they landed, how their skill set is going to help them make this team, and also get some context considering what's going on that this country is facing with the pandemic that we face with the coronavirus. You listen to Locker Talk on the Bassett News Radio Network.
Imagine a league built by the people, for the people. A league dedicated to the economic development of your city. So the question becomes, how good are the 32 teams that play in the Minor Football League? Well, there's only one way to find out. You have to experience the MFL.
Welcome back to Locker Talk on the Bassett News, on the home of the home, the home of the Bassett News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow, today. And before we get into all the good stuff, make sure you guys stay locked in with the Bassett News Radio Network, doing some big things here with some great shows that's covering everything from politics, entertainment, sports, religion, anything you can think of. Make sure you guys stay tuned. Check out the Bassett News Radio show that comes on every Thursday, actually on Mondays and Thursdays from 6 to 8, where they talk about everything, sports, politics, all types of topics dealing with social, economic, and racial standpoints, everything. I know they had a lot to talk about this week. I know it's going to carry on for the weeks to come. this week, I actually had the opportunity to be on the Donaldson Files with Tom Donaldson and Coco Koshny. It was really great doing the show. That was the first show through the network that I've been on other than the Bassett News radio show. Coco and Tom was great. I enjoyed doing that show. I look forward and return on that show again, be on there a lot longer. So definitely a lot of fun. Make sure you guys tune into that to that program as they deal with politics from the left and the right. And they also give entertainment news and always have great guests that come on that show. A new show that we have, You and the Law Show, with Chief Keith Humphreys and Chief Vaughn Green, Vigil Green, as this show opens up with honest conversation with America about law enforcement and their relationship with the black and brown communities. And then Dr. Larry's show with Dr. Larry Fiat, where he talk about politics as well, coming from a conservative perspective, dealing with the Trump era, all kinds of stuff. So if you're into politics, that is the show to look at. And then follow my show on Friday mornings at 9:30, the Pro Talk with the Mighty Oba, where we joined there with Pat Freeman as he interviews the people in the world of sports, entertainment, and beyond. So make sure you guys always stay locked in to what the Bassett News Radio Network brings forth. Now, back to the great stuff with the NFL Regional Combine. Last week, we talked about the players that got drafted that came through the platform. This week, we're going to jump into the guys that signed as undrafted free agents that most likely will take some the spots for the guys that were drafted. It happens every year, folks. I actually root for it, especially through the guys who I evaluate. I like for them to take everybody's spot. Hopefully, all 36 of these guys actually take someone's spot that was drafted. That'll be great. I'll talk a whole lot of trash if that happens. Well, I know that's not going to happen, but just the thought of it definitely appeals to me. Now, one of the players started with the San Francisco 49ers. They signed a defensive back named Marcus Ashe from out of Missouri, 6'2", 195 pounds. This kid is incredible. Definitely going to help make that secondary much stronger. I really believe that he have a really good strong shot in making that team. For Chicago Bears, they actually signed some good defensive players. They went to Duke, the defense tackle, Trayvon McSwain, 6'6", 285 pounds. very athletic defensive lineman. You know, he definitely will be in some good company there with two guys that came through the NFL Regional Combine, Abdul Anderson, and also with Roy Robinson Harris. So he's going to be joined there with some good players from the NFL Regional Combine level, but they're not finished there. They also had signed linebacker Andrew Jones from out of Maryland, 6'3", 220 pounds. They also brought up the defensive lineman help. It was LaCole London from Western Illinois, 6'5", 280 pounds. And to bring in a talented stud offensive player and wide receiver, Ahmad Wagner from out of Kentucky, 6'5", 234 pounds. Now, Wagner is very physical, strong. He excels in the red zone situations. He have good speed, not the fastest guy on the field, but he definitely will give you some good possession catches. He has soft hands, catches the ball at the highest point. He will frustrate defenders because he likes to bully those guys around with an aggressive approach. And with a guy with aggressive approach, his attitude will fit perfectly with a team like the Chicago Bears. He is a team guy, fundamentally sound, very disciplined, and he has good feet, and he's highly, highly intelligent. So that's who the Chicago Bears has signed. Now for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They brought in, and what they need was to address the secondary, and I really believe they had they really actually addressed it accordingly. They signed Pernell Mobley from out of Oklahoma. 6 foot, 195 pounds. Very versatile young man who can cover a lot on the field. Good run support, have decent hands. He's definitely going to be in a lot of faces of offensive players. And I can see them moving them around a while. Moving them around on the field in secondary. On the offensive line, you know they got to protect the old great one, Tom Brady. They brought in Zach Hackleford from out of Texas. 6'4", 310 pounds. He's an experienced starter. Pretty much started all his snaps after filing his soft. He started all his snaps since he was a freshman at the University of Texas. His strength is pass blocking, and he has tremendous upper body strength, very smart, and he has decent lateral movement. He kind of dropped off, so to speak, going into his sophomore year, picked things back up in his junior year, and was pretty much almost average on his senior year. Although he's experienced, he have a upside. Only thing was with him in college, I really believe it's more about confidence. He didn't waver, but he was one of those players that came out highly talented out of high school, fell off, started to deal with his confidence level, kind of picked it up towards the middle part of his collegiate career. And so now he's going into a situation where he know that he's going to have to step this game up more. There's a lot of expectations that the Bucs have now, knowing with the signing of Tom Brady, with the Gronkowski, but most importantly, with the talented core players that surrounded there in Tampa Bay. So they're going to need him to grow up quick if he's going to make this team. I think that he'll, if he makes this team, but I do see him in the NFL. For the Arizona Cardinals, they went offensive line as well. They went to sign Steven Gonzalez from out of Penn State, 6'4", 341 pounds. He have good change of direction. He gets out on his blocks quickly, have great lower strength, good hands, consistent, very durable, a power blocker, good reaction speed, good balance control, fundamentally sound, and he too is an experienced leader. In the secondary, they addressed the secondary through the regional combine as they brought in Chase Willick from out of Arizona, pretty much stayed in that backyard, 5'10", 190 pounds. Also, they brought in Reggie Floyd from out of Virginia Tech, 6 foot, 222 pounds. This guy is extremely, extremely physical. He's going to be a great addition to that team. I already called him out. I think he's going to make that squad. The Kansas City Chiefs, the first thing you want to say to yourself, how much speed did this team need? Well, clearly, speed is not an issue. Patrick Mahomes will make sure everyone gets fed. And this young man, with all the 4.2s and 4.3 speeds they have in there, they wind up finding another one as an undrafted free agent from out of Pittsburgh, Maurice French, 5'11", 190 pounds. He tracks the ball very well, has great, very instinctive, great anticipation, and he's really good in traffic. Oh, my goodness, he's really good in traffic. Shields his body very well, has good feet. No, my fault, great feet, good hands. He's more of a possession receiver. You know, he has good vision. He's fast. He's not a burner, but he know how to get to a spot. He's patient running after the catch, and he has good wiggle. So he's not going to be one of those guys that, you know, I would say that's a burner per se, but to get to where he need to get to, he is quick to get to those spots. He's definitely a first down guy, possession receiver, good signing by the Chiefs. It's going to be kind of tough making that squad, but if he makes that squad, he definitely had to go through special teams, and most importantly, you got to make sure he has some good tape when they open up their training camp, because I can see him going somewhere else if he doesn't make that highly talented core of receiving group they have in Kansas City. Moving on, Dallas Cowboys went straight to the defense. I'm already going to put out there, young man from Illinois State, Luther Kirk, 6'2", 195 pounds. He's going to make this team. The Cowboys in dire need of being able to create plays on the defensive side of the ball, to create turnovers. He's the type of guy that will help bring it there. Jacksonville Jaguars need a running back. I think they addressed it clearly in the off with the undrafted free agents as they went to Tervain Feaster from out of South Carolina State. 6 foot, 221 pounds. In one word, this kid is explosive. Great burst, excellent plant and go, secures the ball high and tight. He does not hesitate to hit the hole. He read gaps well, great hands and feet, good vision, great awareness. He runs the whole route tree out the backfield. Has elite speed, dangerous in the open field. He has home run speed, good level, a pad level, agile and aggressive. Tell you what, when he get out to the second level, you're not going to catch him. That's how fast this guy is. He is definitely has home run speed. On the defense side of the ball, they brought in Douglas Costley from out of Miami, Ohio, 6'2", 295 pounds. He's a legit player as well. I definitely see him making it. Detroit Lions already snagged themselves a good running back, but I think they snagged themselves a good defensive back in Jeremiah Dotson out of Auburn, 6 foot, 191 pounds. Good solid pickup there. The Carolina Panthers went to the offensive line and brought in Frederick Miagligo from out of Washington State, 6'3", 310 pounds. And then out of Temple, linebacker Samuel Franklin, 6'3", 210 pounds. I like this young man a lot. He's definitely going to make this team. Los Angeles Rams, hey, they need a running back as well. I think they addressed that as well in undrafted free agency when they brought in Xavier Jones from SMU. When they great running back, Eric Dickerson. I know he's excited about that. He probably don't know too much about him, but Mr. Dickerson, Hall of Fame, if you're listening, let me break this man, young man the game down. He has exceptional footwork. Great stop and go, tremendous vision and awareness, very elusive, agile, slippery, patient, calculated but aggressive, solid in traffic. His plant and go is phenomenal. Great burst, great acceleration, strong. Can be physical when he needs to be, but he will not absorb those big hits. He has good hands at the backfield, solid pad level, great balance control, and very instinctive. So the Rams have a running back. Don't believe they don't. America don't know yet, but they have a running back. And then also on the wide receiver spot, another good player there, Jared Hosking from out of California, from Kyle Powell, 6'2", 200 pounds. Has great concentration. He fights for the ball. He shields his body very well. Has strong hands, good feet. Catches the deep ball very well. He's a good possession receiver. Excellent, excellent route runner. He's quick. He's actually much faster in game speed. Tracks the ball very well and has great hands. And also quarterback Bryce Perkins. I don't see him necessarily, you know, starting there. But if he make it as a backup, they have a surefire quarterback in the league. 6'3", 210 pounds. He manipulates the pocket very well. Extends plays very well from the pocket first. Great release. He quarterbacks the position. He's a career leader. Have elite speed for the position. Has great burst. Have a rifle. He rifles the ball, especially underneath. Very patient, aggressive when needed. Strong arm, excellent in reading through his progressions, and he put his receivers in positions to make plays down the field. Don't take the hit, a complete solid quarterback. They brought also in Jonah Williams from Weber State, defensive end. He's going to make that team. And linebacker Brunson Boone from out of Colorado, from South Dakota State, 6'2", 220 pounds. Folks, that's a good breakdown from the players that signed. If you want to see the rest of the players that have signed, I may talk about them next week. Next week, I'm going to touch on the HBCU, how those players did last week. Not as exciting, but at the same time, we know we got a lot of work to do with that. I'm going to talk about the HBCU players that would have came through the HBCU Combine that got signed last week. You guys listen to Locker Talk on the Bassett News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars tomorrow, today. To find out more content of those who signed, go to locker-report.com and you see the whole breakdown of players that have signed. Make sure you guys tune in next week as I talk about the HBCU portion of the draft last week, something you do not want to miss. Everyone stay blessed. Shoot out any message directly in any one of my social handles on Twitter at @Locker_report, Facebook, LockReport.com, or Locker Talk Podcast, and on Instagram, LockReport100, all small cash, or just simply shoot me an email at Barry Barnes@Locker-Report.com. Everyone stay blessed. Be safe. Talk to you guys soon.
I'm here with Donald Sly Green as we continue our conversation about his story, and we're talking about the trial and how the trial began to take shape. Sly, this was said to be the biggest case in Western New York history. Do you feel that you were just being tried in the media, that there was just too much hype for you to win or get a proper defense?
I feel that not only was it too much hype, but that the government influenced the witnesses to lie. The witnesses was willing to say and do anything in order to get themselves off. They was co-defendants on the case. Some of them I had never seen or met before. And the government are threatening to take your kids away from you. The government will tell you what to say, tell you how to say it, you know. Practice it with you so that you'll be able to say it in a way to convince the jury that you're telling the truth. It may have been the biggest trial in the history of the city or in the Western District of New York to them, but it was the biggest hype to me because the things that went on in that trial was unbelievable.
Mm.
And the government, they'll do anything, Pat, to win a case.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it is. They'll threaten to take your kids away from you. They'll threaten to put you in jail for long periods of time. You know, like the government, they sent word to one of the lawyers to inform me that, well, inform Mr. Green that if he come over on our side, we'll make him a star. I said, I don't want to be a star in the way that you're talking about making me a star. I have no intentions on testifying against anybody to get myself out of anything or making life harder for somebody else just because I want to get out of the situation that I'm unfortunately in at the time that I was in it. I said, I'm going to trial. And I told the lawyers on the case, I don't want the lawyers to bring me that type of information again from the U.S. attorneys telling me that they could do this. I didn't want to hear it, you know, so I proceeded right to trial.
Mm.
In other words, no matter how big the trial was, no matter what was going to happen, I was going to stand up to the very end. And I was not going to sacrifice anybody or put anybody under the bus or lie and fabricate anything against anybody. I was not going to do that on the state case when I went to trial, and I definitely was not going to do that on the federal case when I went to trial, because that's not how I was raised in the streets, you know?
Sly, let me ask you this. While all of this was going on around you, how were you feeling, knowing what you were up against? What were your thoughts? I mean, were you thinking in regards to yourself, but I know most importantly, your family? What were you thinking?
Okay, well, I had just got 25 to life for the state of New York. Now, as I'm going through the trial and I get convicted, I'm thinking like, well, yo, I just got convicted. They getting ready to sentence me. They sentenced me to 4 life terms and 110 years. That's 5 life terms and 135 years running wild, running crazy. And what's running through my mind is that I'm saying to myself that it's over with for me. You know, I might as well commit suicide or something like that. This is what I'm saying to myself, but I know I'm not going to commit suicide. I know I'm just going to stand up, learn much as I can about the law, try to learn much as I can about the law to try to get myself out of the situation. At the time, I got 2 little boys and a daughter, and you know, I'm thinking like, damn, I can't be there for them now. You know, now I could have put myself in a situation whereas if I wanted to lie and fabricate like the witnesses done against me to be with them, but I just couldn't see myself doing that, Pat. You know, their mothers was just going to have to raise them, and I was just going to have to see them in a way that I done seen them over the years. You know, if I had to try to become a rat or a snitch or something like that, that I was not going to become.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's running through my mind like I got these 3 little babies, and man, it's hurting, it's killing me, man. But I know I got to stand to the end, man. I got to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and their mothers, you know, they looking at me. They not telling me to roll over or do this or do that because I'm not going to do it anyway. Then I got my mother. My mother is worrying. My family is worrying, you know, my brothers and all of them, you know, but my main objective, Pat, I got to be honest with you, man. My main objective is I'm going all the way through. I'm not capping out. I'm not asking for mercy or none of that. I'm just going to stand up all the way through the whole thing. And now those are the type of things that's running through my mind. And another thing that's running through my mind is that I'll never, ever see the streets again.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that's running through my mind is that I'm all in. They done took me down with lies. They done took me down with, you know, with paid testimony. You know, they lining up to testify to get themselves off a situation. But I know I'm up against all this, Pat, and I see all this, but I'm still going to stand to the very end.
Mm.
Because that's how I was bred from the streets, man. That's how I came up. I'm standing up to the end. Now, somebody would say that,
mm-hmm.
yo, this guy's crazy. This guy's a fool. To them, I may be that. But to me, I was being the man that I am, because
right.
that's just how I was raised in life, man, to stand up on my own and don't blame nothing on nobody else. Don't take my burden, my situation, and put it on somebody else.
Hmm.
That's how I seen it, Pat.
All right. Sly, how many co-defendants were there in total?
I had 32 co-defendants on the case,
mm-hmm.
and 9 of them testified. 9 of the 32, 9 testified. And some of them went in, like I said, some of them went into the Federal Witness Protection Program. But the whole thing of the case was to take me down. They
mm-hmm.
didn't care how they took me down, Pat. They didn't care whether they lied. They didn't care what they had to do. This is the federal government. They'll arrest your grandmother. They'll arrest your mother. They'll arrest your sisters and brothers. They'll take the babies and put them in foster care. If they want you bad enough, they'll do anything within their power to take you down. They don't care if you're innocent or not, Pat. That's what they do. This is the federal government, man. And this is what they done to me. They done any and everything they can to take me down. They didn't care if I was innocent of most of those charges or not. We taking this guy, Sly Green, down. And that's what they done, man. And I'm saying to myself, You take me down, I'm standing up to the very end.
Mm.
And that's how I had. That's how I seen it, Pat.
Mm. Sly, let me ask you this. You told me you're writing a book.
Yes.
What is the goal of your book, and when do we look to see when it comes out?
The book should be out this year, probably around September, October of this year. And the name of the book is called Diaries of a Jailhouse Lawyer, Volume 1. There's a Volume 1, there's a Volume 2, and there's a Volume 3. And the book is based on me coming into the federal to state prison system with 5 life terms and 135 years, and not sitting around in the prisons watching TV, not sitting around in the prisons playing basketball or playing cards, but coming into the system, going straight to the law library and trying to untangle this 5 life terms and 135 years. And inside the book, it tells the younger guys and the youth, you don't want to be like Sly Green, because Sly Green was serving 5 life terms and 135 years. So you don't want to grow up admiring, emulating, being like this guy that they talk about, Sly Green. Because Sly Green don't want to be the type of guy that they labeled him as being. And Sly Green is not that type of guy that they labeled him as being. And Sly Green is not trying to be in prison for 5 life terms and 135 years. So for all the younger guys, the book tells you, when you go to trial, you stand up at trial. When you come to federal or state prisons, now you got to stand up against inmates. Okay, you stood up in the public, now you got to come here and stand up. Now you got to fight your way through these guys. Now you got to show these guys that you're not soft. Now you got to go through a whole different type of initiation in order for you to survive in these type of prisons. So you don't want to be like Sly Green, because if you be like Sly Green, then the feds in the state will do the same thing to you that they done to Sly Green.
Mm.
So the best thing I would say for the youth in the book, as I say, is that, you know, turn the page to a different life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to school, educate yourself, do something constructive for yourself. And if you can stay out the streets, stay out the streets. But don't come up trying to emulate a guy like Sly Green, because that guy is dead and gone.
Mm.
You know, you don't want to be like Sly Green. Now, if I had it to do all over again, I would go to law school and become a lawyer.
Right.
Even though I have 2 degrees now.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go to law school and become a lawyer, because when I came in here, I went straight to the law library. Now I know the law. Now I know how to write the law. I know how to dictate the law. I know how to do motions. I know how to file all kind of things. I know how to help people get out of jail. So I've grown from being in this here type of prison environment. I've grown from this prison experience. And I'm in here around judges. They got a judge every here and there come to prison. They got lawyers come to prison. They got doctors come to prison. They got murders. They got crime bosses. They got kingpins that come to prison. And they got some guys that commit certain type of crimes that if they commit rapes or they hurt old people or something, they can't come in these prison populations because they're not accepted.
Right.
You know? But my point is, you don't want to be like Sly Green. That's for the public. Don't try to be like Sly Green, because if you try to be like Sly Green, then you're going to end up in the same situation that Sly Green is in, and you're going to be fighting for the rest of your life for your freedom, and you may die in prison. Just like Sly Green may die in prison if he don't get his last life off of him. If Sly Green don't get this last life off of him, he'll die in prison trying to get out of prison.
Mm.
And that's what the book is about. The book is about all the cases, a lot of the cases that I won, about the experiences that I went through in high security Colorado, which is Florence, Colorado,
mm-hmm.
the experiences that I went through in Lewisburg, United States Penitentiary, Atlanta Federal Penitentiary, Leavenworth Federal United States Penitentiary. And when I say they was penitentiaries, Pat, I mean exactly that. When I came to Leavenworth, it looked just like the White House. It looked so dangerous and vicious, I was scared to death, man.
Mm.
I said, damn, what have I got myself into? When I seen this penitentiary, because I had never seen a penitentiary like this. And then when I got inside the penitentiary, it looked like the morgue, like some people done died in the basement of the penitentiary. And so I'm even more afraid. I'm shivering now.
Mm.
And I'm like, damn, what is this? Then when I get upstairs and I get into the areas, They got 80 cells long. The cells is 80 cells long. You can't even see at the end of the cells.
Mm.
So I'm like, damn. And then all of a sudden, when I go to the mess hall is so big, it looked like the United Nations. You got Indians there. You got blacks there. You got whites there. You got Mexicans there. You got all the different gangs throughout the United States in this one penitentiary. You got like 34 different gangs there. You got crime bosses there. You got gangsters. You got killers. You got murder. You got a whole lot of Sly Greens in there.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So don't look at Sly Green like he's some tough guy or he was some crime boss. That's not the case. Because I was none of that, and they got somebody for Sly Green as well, right in them prisons, along with Sly Green.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got many Sly Greens in them prisons that's never coming out of them prisons.
Have any of these groups tried to recruit you based on the hyped reputation of Sly Green?
Yeah, you know, yeah, they talk to me and stuff like that, but I don't pay them no attention when it comes to that. A lot of them done said things to me, and, you know, I could have been a... you know, a shot caller, OG shot caller, triple OG, because that's what they use and all that. But I don't get involved in things like that, Pat. Every day that I've been in prison, I've been in that law library. I go outside, I do 2 hours of physical workout, I come back, and I spend the rest of my time in the law library. Whenever the prison get locked down for any type of disciplinary actions, I go straight to the law books in my cell. My whole objective is to one day be free.
As you well know, just from the hype that you experience on how they tried to build a personality around you, that same personality was being permeated before you left in the hip-hop world of this gangster-type image that a lot of our young people are beginning to follow that type of image in the street. What would be your message to them outside of continuing on what you've already said?
My message would be to them is don't go for the hype. Don't get involved with situations that might cause you to become incarcerated, especially in prison, because that's all it is hype. Don't try to be like Sly Green. Don't make songs and lyrics and everything about Sly Green, because that guy is only an image that the federal government built up in order for them to win a trial. That's not me. The image that they built up as Sly Green, being a gangster type of guy, a boss, crime boss, that guy is not me.
Mm.
Sly Green is a guy that's in prison right now, suffering every day, trying to get himself out of prison. Sly Green is a guy that's looking towards the future for a better life if he can ever get out of prison. I don't see myself as being the type of guy that they should make lyrics about. I don't see myself as being the type of guy that's a gangster or anything like that, because I'm none of that. It's just the image that the government built up. It's a fake image. It's an image that they portrayed. It's an image that they projected upon me in order to win a trial.
Mm.
And the things that's been said about me as being, you know, this crime boss, this gangster, this real fly and serious guy, that's not me. I just want to be very honest with you. That's not me. That's just something that was built up by the government to take me down. And no matter who you are, if the government come for you and they want to take you down, they don't care. They're going to take you down by any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, they don't care if they got to get your mother, your grandmother, if they got to take your kids from you, if they got to charge you with being a super kingpin, a racketeering boss, if they got to charge you with criminal enterprise, if they got to give you 4 conspiracies and 1 conspiracy and make you look bigger than life, like they done made Sly Green look bigger than life. But see, I'm not impressed with the hype. And I ask that the young kids not be impressed with the hype. I ask that the young kids not try to idolize me or emulate me, because that's not me. The image that was built up about me, that's not me. That's just something that was built up in order for the government to win a trial. I'm not that type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a guy in the law library every day trying to get my freedom. I'm a guy that's doing a life sentence and may die in prison, all because of an image, all because of something that's been built up, all because of something that's been fantasized about me. And I'm saying this to you, Pat, because this is what's in the book as well, and I'm trying to tear that image down that the government done built up about me,
mm-hmm.
that the public got about me, this, the monster they done created me into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just not that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I got 2 degrees. I work out every day. I do exercise every day. And one more thing for the young guys. When you come to these prisons, they need to remember that when they come to these prisons, for an example, in the federal penitentiaries that I'm in, when you come to these federal penitentiaries like Lewisburg, like Leavenworth, like High Security Colorado, you come into these federal prisons with guys from all over the world, not just from the United States, guys from all over the world. You got some of the most dangerous, vicious guys in these prisons, and all they do is self-destruct. All they do is kill, murder, stab, rape, sexually abuse each other, disrespect each other. They're not trying to educate themselves. Some of them are. About 10% of them, out of 100%, 10% of them will try to educate themselves and strive to better their position in life so that upon our reentry back into society, they'll have some type of skills and, you know, they'll want to do something positive with their life. But the average one is just talking about more crime, how to be a more of a successful criminal. And that's not what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you come to these prisons, there's always the possibility that you may never make it out because a lot of guys get stabbed, a lot of guys get murdered, a lot of guys get raped, a lot of guys get killed. Certain guys can't make it in these prisons. The environments that you're being subjected to is subhuman environments. You're being controlled through the conditions of how they feel that they want to control it in these prisons. So when you think about Sly Green, you need to think about, do I want to spend the rest of my life in prison?
Mm.
Do I want to have to go to the law library every day and try to knock down 5 life terms in 135 years with the possibility that I may never, ever be free again? When you think about Sly Green and these guys making these rap songs, talking about Sly Green, what some of them I have heard, that's not me. I'm not that type of guy. I'm not no gangster. I'm not no crime boss. I'm just a guy. They got caught up in a very unfortunate situation, and the situation got blowed up and got blowed out of hand. It's out of control, and now they done made me into this this legendary figure on the streets, and I'm none of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the public to know that. I want the young guys that's going to school, I want y'all to know that Sly Green image is a fake. That's a fraud. That's something that the government built up to make me into. I'm not that. I'm not going to try to live up to it.
Mm.
And if I had it my way right now, I would be out there talking to the youth, trying to explain to the guys in the little boys club or explain it to anybody that would listen to me that, listen, man, I'm not about selling drugs. Some I have sold, but I've redeemed myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm not
mm-hmm.
about ordering no hits or kidnappers, extortion, or being a crime boss or something like that. I'm not into that. I was never into that in the beginning. It's been blowed up to be something that it never was. And I'm not going to stay in prison. And when people come see me, yo, that's such and such. That's not. No, I'm not living up to that image. Anybody that's been in these prisons will tell you that I'm not that type of guy. I'm a gentleman. I'm respectful. You know, I'm not a murderer. I'm not a killer. I'm not this bigger than life figure. That's just something that the government used to create an image to take me down.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask that the public look at me as being the gentleman that I am. And that's what the book is about.
Mm-hmm.
The book is about that. And those young guys need to know, man, that when you come to these prisons, all they doing is stabbing, murder, and killing each other. Because all the vicious and dangerous guys is being piled into the high security prisons.
Mm-hmm.
I done went through it. I know. You got 34, 35 different gangs in one prison. They having gang wars. They murdering. They killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
They disrespecting each other. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about, yo, I'm going to try to get a better education so that if I ever reenter into society, I'll be able to do something positive and constructive with my life.
What Sly are your degrees in, Sly?
I got 2 degrees. I got one in business and the other one in business administration. I got 2 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I'm saying, Pat, is in transcripts and newspapers.
This call is from a federal prison.
And all the 166 cases in the 5 Supreme Court cases that I won, all they got to do is click on most of the U.S. district courts in the United States. I don't have a case damn near in every circuit in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in district court. So if anybody don't believe that I won 166 cases in 5 Supreme Court cases, all they got to do is plug into the court, put Donald G. Green, and put 39747019, and they'll see that I don't want 166 cases and 5 Supreme Court cases. Those guys didn't used to like you to put their name on the cases, but a few years ago, I started putting my name on my cases because I've been winning so many. And it's like a gift. I need to say this to you too, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
One day I had to get a feeling in my tooth.
Uh-huh.
And so my tooth was, the dentist filled my tooth, but my tooth got poisoned. Poison came into my bloodstream. So I hit the floor. When I hit the floor, I went out. And so I'm walking, and I got people on this side and people on the other side because I'm walking this long, bright light. And an angel comes out of nowhere, and I can't describe how the angel looked. All I know is it was like a voice I never heard before, and it was a presence there. And as I'm walking in the straight line towards the light, it's a big, bright light at the end. And I got people hollering and screaming at me, and they below me, and they in dark, but I'm walking on this bright line, and they hollering and screaming about me, about everything I ever done in life. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And I'm afraid to look down, because if I look down, they're going to pull me down.
Mm-hmm.
So an angel come out of nowhere and say, don't pay him no attention. Just keep walking
right. And
keep looking straight ahead towards the light. So I keep looking straight ahead towards the light. I keep walking with the angel. Another angel come around that angel and come over to the right side. And the other angel, like, it hurry off like it was running off or something. And this angel say to me, we're not ready for you yet. We still have a lot left for you to do. So I know that I'm still in prison, and I know that this here is a near-death experience, and this ain't no dream or nothing like that. And so I go to walk, and I tell the angel, I said, no, I want to go. Because I know I'm in federal prison doing this life sentence, and I don't want to come back. So the angel said, no, we still have a lot left for you to do. So I go to step because I want to still go towards the light. And when I look down, it's like what they call that hellfire. I look, I step back, and I come back into the life that I'm in the dentist's office, and I'm in all this pain and all this here stuff because my bloodstream and my face done blew up so big. It's a shame. So they rushed me to the hospital. And I ain't never forget that, man. So what I'm saying to you is saying that I must have been given a gift to be able to win them cases like I'm winning them, because I can't even believe that I be winning them like I win them. I just got so good at it. When the ones I take, I win them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't win every one of them, Pat. Of the 166 in the 5 Supreme Courts, I only lost 5 cases since I've been doing law.
Mm.
You know, and I just feel that it's a gift. I just feel that God got better things for me to do. And that story that I just told you is a true story.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that in the book, too.
Awesome.
You know,
I like that.
The angel said, we still have a lot left for you to do. We're not ready for you yet. Now, the other angel could have been the angel of death.
That's right.
I don't know. You know?
That's right.
Those are the type of things that I've been going through.
This concludes the first part of the exclusive interview with Donald Sly Green here on a special edition of The Message. Donald Sly Green is taking an opportunity with us to tell his side of the story. Today, he talked about some major and key points, but don't miss next week. I am the Mighty Oba, Pat Freeman, here on a special edition of The Message.
Since Buffalo Wild Wings is always open late, here are a few things you'll enjoy. Buzzer beaters, wings in 21 signature sauces and seasonings, and great deals on food and beer. Grab select domestic draft beer starting at $4. $4 shareables like street tacos, fried pickles, chili queso dip, mozzarella sticks, and roasted garlic mushrooms, and deals on select liquor and house cocktails. Phew, that's a mouthful. Catch all of the late night action. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. Offers and participation vary. Please drink responsibly. Void where prohibited.
Imagine a league built by the people, for the people. A league dedicated to the economic development of your city. So the question becomes, how good are the 32 teams that play in the Minor Football League? Well, there's only one way to find out. You have to experience the MFL.